Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we talk about topics related to fundraising, leadership, management, and coaching. My name is David Langiuli, and I am here with my good friend, partner, and founder, Janice Cunning. And Janice, we have a special guest today on the podcast, and her name is Kate Norton. Welcome, Kate.
Hello.
Hello.
And we'll put Kate's bio in the show notes and in the blog post that she already wrote for the community. But Kate is a good friend. She's done some of the fundraising leadership work with us. And we worked together at Princeton many moons ago. She's at Dartmouth University now, leads a fundraising team there and is taking on some new responsibilities, which is kind of what we're going to be talking about in the podcast today. Kate is also just a really warm and caring person, and she's a mom and is quite ambitious. So we'll talk about that too, maybe. So welcome, Kate.
Welcome. Thanks for allowing me to be here. It's really exciting.
Good. So share with us a little bit about this trailblazing path you wrote about.
Sure. I'm happy to talk about it. So I'll say that I think that although there are many challenges that the pandemic has posed, I also think it has ability in a moment in the last year and a half for me to be able to look inward and reflect upon myself and some of the goals that I have as an individual and some of my values and ethics as well. And so I'll say that a little bit of my trailblazing is inspired in a lot of different places by a lot of different people also. One place I want to call out that really helped me in this journey is a program that is led by a colleague and friend called the Amplify program that is led by Alexis Kenda Olmsted. It was specific for women in leadership and women in fundraising in particular, in light of the fact that there are many, many women in development, but unfortunately not as many as we would like to see in senior leadership positions. And so I applied to that program. It was about 2 years ago and was accepted. And through a period of about 3.5 months, in being in a group of wonderful women and wonderful coaches and talking about some of the challenges, and then also developing my own group through Amplify, where we discussed some of the challenges. And I began to see myself as a leader in a way that I had never quite been able to. I always wanted to be a leader. I knew I had aspects of leadership, but by doing that program and leading a group of about 7 women that I was helping to kind of walk through the discussion, walk through some of the challenges, I really began to see that I could do this, that it was a calling in some ways. And it was something that I felt empowered by in that ability to do it, but also enriched. And I think that it was interesting that it happened during the pandemic, because there was so many things that were going on in terms of transitions, both nationally and in personal lives. Yet this program where I was leading discussions, it made me realize how much we all have to give each other. And it helped me along this pathway. So I'll stop there. I can go on because that's the beginning of the path, but that's the start of the story.
Yeah. I love, as you were talking, Kate, I was thinking, like, because of the term trailblazing, right? It's like, yes, really going into a place where there isn't a trail and creating, yeah, one, you know, so that's scary. Like it's like a forest and you don't really know where you're going or what you're going to encounter. And so I love that. Like, just, you painted this picture of how we could do that alone, but we don't have to. Right. And I think sometimes, a big thing David and I see in the leaders we work with is like, people are not always the help. So I love that you were like asking for help, but also maybe you can talk a little bit more about like getting help, also giving help, right? Like both of those, yeah, as a leader are really something that help you grow.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So I think about my own relationship with myself over the last year and a half as one where I really needed to go internal a little bit. And by actually developing essays for the Amplify program where I applied, it made me really search deeply in myself. And I think I was able to, you know, sort of identify who I am, where some of the challenges are that I see in our environment, both in our profession and also more nationally, and then be able to think about how to navigate those. And so I think a lot about trailblazing as navigation as well as building, and being able to, you know, go left if you need to go left, and, you know, jump over that stream if you need to go right. But it's really great to be able to have other people there that are part of your team that are trailblazing with you. And I think it's also interesting, I chose the word trailblazing because in second grade, where I grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, our elementary school were the Trailblazers. And I remember skiing with my dad in second grade outside, thinking about me being a trailblazer. And it's nice to go back again in terms of thinking about your deep kind of who you are. I was able to rely on that second grade elementary school mascot for who I am today.
Wow.
It sounds like you were diving into your sage power of navigate, and you've participated in our PQ coaching program in the past. And oh boy, here's a reality moment for you. Let's see if you can recall the navigate power. If I will help you with this, because I was just doing a lot of work with clients around their sage powers now. So if you think about what that power is, maybe you can recall, or maybe we could co-create it for the audience here.
Let's co-create it.
All right.
So I have my intuition that I'm going to draw on, which is that I think it's a power of wisdom.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if that is
right. It comes from your wiser elder self, right? So it's definitely a way of, in the blog post, you talked about your younger self, and we do some work around that too, yeah, in the program. But the navigate power is about your wiser elder self looking back on your life when you are still of sound mind and body, and you can imagine yourself looking back on this period of your life and sort of start. You can ask your wiser elder self in a conversation, like, what path should I be breaking now? And what came up when you were navigating in that kind of way, Kate?
Yeah. I would say that it's an interesting question, because I also think advocate. And so you have to navigate to be able to advocate, right? Mm-hmm. And it relates for me in terms of trailblazing, and when you're at the beginning of the line, sometimes you have to advocate for people that are maybe, you know, either possibly, you know, behind you, possibly in front of you, possibly next to you. And so when I think about the work that I want to do in my world, both professionally and personally, I think about wanting to advocate not only for aspects that of myself that, you know, are traditionally underrepresented, but also advocate for other voices in this space as well. Mm-hmm.
What would your wiser elder self say about this period of your life where you're advocating? So advocating would be an activity that you do, but your wiser elder self will want to look back on this and say to you what?
Good job for being strong.
Yeah, good. Well, I would say it as you had courage during this time of where you were uncertain of which way the path was going. You had courage. You had compassion for people who are unable to advocate for themselves. Might be some other ways, but yeah, good job would be a shorthand way of saying it.
Yeah, you know, and it's also bringing up for me, like, you said a few minutes ago, Kate, like this is also a time of really going within yourself. And what I really took from reading your blog post, we'll talk a little bit more about the zone of genius as we unfold this, but like I took this idea of it's very easy to just follow another path, right? Or to go along with somebody else who's trailblazing. Like, okay, like a path is being done. And like you said, it's like you were having a lot of success. Like you're already a woman who's like having a lot of success, making a big impact. And yet I think going within, and you can say more about this, but my feeling in reading that was really inspiring that like what going in that you do was really say like, okay, but let you use the word intentional. Let me be more intentional about making sure that the path that I'm on is actually like the one that I love. And like, I want to jump out of bed in the morning and run down that path, you know?
Yeah. Even though I don't know where it's going.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that I like everything you said, Aunt Janice, in terms of being able to go deep. It's one of those things, and I'm going to identify that David was talking about sage powers, and I've tried to also be aware of my own, what is the word? I'm thinking the opposite of sage.
Oh, you're saboteur?
Saboteur.
Yes, yeah. Well, saboteurs, I couldn't think of that word for a second. Yeah. But I know that one of your saboteurs often can be your sages as well. And I have a hyperachiever saboteur, which can play nicely in certain ways when, you know, I need it to, but other times can be less than ideal. And so identifying what my saboteurs are in terms of, I have a tendency to be hyperachiever and really being able to say, you know, as a hyperachiever, I can wake up in the morning and get myself excited about anything. And I can make myself do almost anything, include running marathons. But is that really what I want to be doing? Is that really what I need to be doing for my own self? And so being able to take a step back and look at, you know, I am 42. If this isn't life, what is life, right? And thinking about where do I want to go from here? That is beyond a title, but rather more of a calling. So
it's sort of, it's making me think of the seduction of the zone of excellence. And actually, David, I'd love maybe, I know you, this is something you know a lot about, but why don't you explain to people like what's in the zone of excellence versus the zone of genius? And why is it so seductive to get stuck in the zone?
Yeah, that's a great question. And maybe even before I go there, I want to distinguish two other zones, which are our zones of incompetence and our zone of competence. So I think people mostly know, like there are certain things like just don't ask me to do because it's not going to get done well. It's not going to be done on time. It's going to, you know, and I probably will say no to that because, you know, usually we know.
For me, that would be reading a map.
Yeah, reading a map, right. But then there are things, you know, we can handle reasonably well. And we, you know, we might be asked or our work might call on us to do something, or even, you know, you might have to get out and see what's wrong with your car and kind of realize that it's the battery. And even though you're not going to change the battery, you know who to call. Like, you know, I'm going to call AAA and come change my battery, right? So that would be skillful or competent. But the zones that Kate pointed to in her blog post are finer distinctions. And the zone of excellence is an area of work or life, let's just say work, where not only are you competent, but you are extraordinary and excellent. People look at you and say, wow, that is really good work. You are rewarded for it financially. You are rewarded for it socially. You get recognition for it, and it has an impact. It's quite excellent. But now this becomes the finest of the fine distinctions. Many of us become excellent at certain things, and especially at work. And Kate, you talked about this in your blog post. And you get lots of goodies, as we say in the positive intelligence framework. You get a lot of crumbs, but you're not getting the bread. So you get all these breadcrumbs, rewards, but there's something missing. And the thing that's missing is joy. And so when we talk about the zone of genius, and this is some work that came out of the 15 Commitments of Conscious Leaders, which Kate participated in a group and still does, that talks about that work. The distinction there is, not only is your work excellent, but you derive great joy from it. So why don't you say a little bit about that inquiry, I think, that I gave you many months ago, Kate, and what came out of that?
Sure. So we had been talking about sort of where I was in my thinking and my path, and I had identified with you that through part of my work at Princeton with you, David, I had been working in the area of corporate foundations for a very long time in my career, approximately 15 years. And I have derived great joy out of that work. It's intellectually interesting. It always requires navigation. Requires a lot of partnership throughout the university and also externally. I had been doing it for 15 years, and I realized that I feel like I know it pretty well. You know, it's a trail I've been on before. It's beautiful. I can run it well, but it's not necessarily particularly exciting every day. It's the trail that's well trodden. And I felt like I was ready to go a little outside of my boundaries of my own area of confidence, as well as perhaps excellence. Mm-hmm. Really try to do something that I wasn't sure if I was going to be excellent at, but I had a sense that it was going to be fulfilling to me. Mm-hmm. And that in part, the sensibility that I wasn't going to know everything and how to do it, and that I was going to have to be going on intuition a little bit and learning and navigating by working with others, feeling our pathways along the path, really was inspiring to me. And so, David, I think you had introduced this idea of the zone of excellence and moving into your zone of genius, and really trying to kind of move the continuum along, and that it was okay in your zone of genius to not necessarily always be excellent, but in the long run, know that it was going to bring you to a place that you were going to be fulfilled, and hopefully by yourself being fulfilled, others around you and your professional environment would be enriched as well. And so that's what you had suggested to me, and it was really helpful, was to think about where are your zones of excellence, and then where can you go in your zone of genius.
Yeah, and I'm hearing, like in you, Kate, like a real value system around growth and learning and challenging yourself. And it that's the thing. It's like also it evolves, right? Like it maybe you were in your zone of genius, like in the first part of that job that you had, and then it was like, okay, I'm ready to blaze a new trail. And it's interesting. I was rereading it this morning, I was thinking about, like, one thing I've learned about myself is, I love coaching, and it's very easy to kind of be like, okay, like coaching is at times can be kind of zone of excellence. But when it becomes zone of genius to me is like, is when it's like clients, because I did StrengthsFinder a few years ago, and my number one strength is maximizer, which is like really taking things that are good and making them great. So I realized, like, that's what I love. I love clients who are like, in a good place, like they're successful, like they feel good, they're like hungering for like just like what's like if I turn the volume up a little bit, like, you know, which could be just like taking on something within their career, it could be getting a promotion, like it doesn't really matter, but that's who I love, right? Is like that moment in a person's life where they're like, everything's going along really well, but I want to like turn up the volume. So that feels to me like the times when I'm really most in my zone of genius. So it was nice in reading what you wrote to kind of reflect. And what about you, David? Like, how would you define your zone of genius?
Well, I like what you're both saying about values and fulfillment. So, and growth. And, you know, sometimes Janice and I say, well, getting out on the skinny branches of life rather than, you know, the familiar climbing the tree the way you know how to. But fulfillment, when you are in alignment with your values, like I do have a value, and I definitely read in your post, Kate, that you have an a value I call adventure. You know, there's a little bit of adventure there. And so I know for myself, when I'm up to something, let's bring it back to the leadership conversation too, because you started with that, and you're through this inquiry and depth of looking inside, you've come to realize you are a leader. I always knew that about you, Kate.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome. And you're well. So Janice and I have done some work, a lot of work around leadership, and we talk about leader quests. A quest is a journey that has an uncertain outcome.
And you can't do it alone.
And you can't do it alone.
You can't go on a quest.
Cannot do it alone. It requires outside resources. And it is important, that's the fulfillment piece, that's the value piece, to your world being not just me, but my world around me. And so it sounds like you're starting out on a quest.
I think you're right. And I love that analogy. It goes so well with so many different themes that we've discussed today. I agree entirely. I don't know exactly where I'm going.
Yeah.
The path, I can see the path in the near term, but I in the longer term, I'm not quite sure.
Right.
And one of the things I've also realized, interestingly, is that I am one could say a unicorn, or one could say an eight-nosed elephant. I'm not sure what I am, because I can do a lot of different things. And I think one of the next quests for myself is to hone in on what exactly am I doing? Because right now I can do a lot. I can say yes to a lot, knowing where I'm really, really going. And one other colleague and coach had shared with me, one of the things about leadership and growth is being able to decide what you're not going to do. Mm-hmm. And so as we go through on this quest where the world is open and there's so many things that can be done, also being able to navigate what are the things you're not doing. And I think that's also where I see myself growing right now, is in that space as well. And being able to refine and articulate better where that is. But
yeah. And you know what, Kate, you're saying something so important, because that's what I was talking about, the seduction of the zone of excellence, right? It's like, if you're good at something, you're getting rewarded, you might be getting promoted, getting raises, it can be very hard to start to say no to those things. Mm-hmm. But you can't move into the zone of genius and create enough space for the things that you, like David said, that you're good at, but that also bring you joy, without starting to say no. And that's uncomfortable. And sometimes other people don't like it. You know, and
your pleaser doesn't like it. That's yeah. Another saboteur we talk about in our PQ program. A lot of fundraising leaders have a saboteur called pleaser, because and so that's one saboteur you're confronting. And there's another saboteur you named, and a lot of fundraising leaders and nonprofit leaders are hyper achieving. They get lots of breadcrumbs for, you know, achievement. And there's nothing wrong with achievement. It's just when it becomes hyper, here's one of the impacts of the hyperachiever. I don't know if we ever talked about it, but it's coming up. It's reminding me that one of the impact when you're seized by your hyperachiever is you don't go for big stuff. because you don't know if you can achieve it. Mm-hmm. That's what happens with hyperachievers. They stay in their zone of excellence.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't go for stuff where they don't know that they can get it. But you're going there, so that takes courage, and I acknowledge you for that.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And you've got, you know, like we've already called out, it's like you've got the love of growth and learning, and you've got the spirit of adventure. And, you know, those are the tools, right? Like you got all those things in your backpack as you're like running along that trail. Yeah. It's all of the other people, you know, with you as well. And I love that. I love that. Yeah. So as you know, Kate, we'd love to give people like a practical thing that they can do after listening to these conversations. And I know that David asked you some questions that were very impactful. And so I think you're going to share a question that you want to give to our listeners that they can think about.
Absolutely. Thanks, Janice. So I'd like to encourage everyone who's listening today in the next week to do three things. The first is to write down five areas of excellence that you see in yourself. And take some time journaling, thinking about it. You can do this over a period of several days if you'd like. Five things that you know you are really good at. The second thing I would like you to do is write down in the last week how many times you had trepidation. Trepidation, but a sense of slight interest in that trepidation. Right? So it's not something that you're going to absolutely go running from, but rather something that is you're a little scared about. You may not be entirely looking forward to, but you also feel like there's something there that was interesting or perhaps a little scary. Write down three of those. And then for the third thing, think about what aspects in that trepidation were of enticing our interest were played to a zone of growth. And as you think about that trepidation and that how it relates to that zone of growth, think further about how that can build into your zone of genius. So I'd love to do that. David had me sort of work on these things, and it was really helpful to see my path when I had a bunch of different ways I could go.
All right. Nice. You can Thank tell you. Kate has been very well coached because she gave a timeline. She gave three very clear instructions. Right. That was a very clearly delivered request, Kate. Well done.
Multi-layered.
Thank you both.
Awesome. Anything you want to add, David, before we wrap up?
Well, I'll add that the seeds of genius lie in those things that come up that are interesting yet give you a bit of the trepidation. So I'll leave the audience with that. That's where the seeds of the zone of genius lie. So that's a spoiler alert.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kate. If people haven't read the blog post yet, we'll link to that in the show notes. Really go in and read that. And like I said, I was really in rereading it this morning. It was wonderful to, you know, start to think about my own place of the zone of genius. So thank you so much for writing and coming to join us. And it's always delightful to have members of our community come and share their passion. So,
and we can't wait to hear how this path unfolds.
Yeah, I
can't wait to unfold it with both of you.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. And we invite you to subscribe if you haven't already. We're on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Spotify. And we love also if you can rate and review the show, that helps more people find us. And we'd like to offer a resource in the podcast. We're doing something a little bit different this week. We wanted to extend an offer that if you are doing the work that Kate, you know, has suggested, and you would like to have a little bit more of a conversation, both David and I, and also our partners, Michelle and Margaret, are always happy to offer a complimentary coaching session. And that could be something we start to unpack. So we will link to how to find us in the show notes, and feel free to reach out. And you've got a very clear challenge from Kate of what to think about and journal about. So we invite you to now go put that into practice.